Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And this morning, talking about catalogs. How many do you get in the mail? Maybe not as many as you used to get. And if you don't want to get any or pretty much zero, you can get on a no mail line, so to speak. But catalogs can just really fill up your mailbox. And I just want to go back in time. I know some of you listening used to get the Sears catalog. That was one of them. Then, you know, it was JCPenney and so on. But the Sears catalog and or the Montgomery Ward catalog was a really important piece of mail that came to you, because it was like, oh, gosh, maybe it was just a wish book, but it could also be very useful in terms of what you might want to take a look at. And then in the maybe, I'm going to say really old days, but for some people, it's not that many years ago, the catalog had a second use. You know, you took it to the outhouse and used the pages for another reason. Well, some of you will remember that, I'm sure. But today's catalogs are so varied. They may be for clothing. They may be depending on what your interests are. And if you've ordered anything from a catalog, whether that's the handheld one you get in the mail or you've ordered online, then your name often gets shuffled off to some other businesses and you start getting other kind of related catalogs, whether they be military or maybe motorcycle related or whatever you're interested in. There's probably a catalog that relates to it and you could get on that list. And so maybe you don't like to get those in the mail. I'm still on the list for several that as soon as they come, they go right in the recycling. But there are others that I do take to my reading spot and use in various ways. And as I mentioned, if you don't want one in your hands, there's just an unending number that you can get online and do your shopping that way. So how do you use catalogs? Well, one of the things, as I said, we used to call that the wish book, to see, well, what would I like to have that I'm probably not going to have. But it could also be very useful in taking a look at, here's what I need. A new winter coat. What are the options? What are the options in terms of price and color and style and so on? And so catalogs can be used to kind of pre-shop. Even if you're not going to order on the catalog, it's a way of pre-shopping to kind of know what's out there. And you can then look in your local town to see if there's something similar, if there's something you like. But it's kind of stay at home, do your looking and shopping before you go out to buy, if you're going to go to a store to buy something. Prices, as I say, just a whole variety of things that you can find in the catalogs. Really good resource. And I want to just sort of jump to one of the bunches of catalogs I get, you might guess, are seed catalogs. And even with seed catalogs, seed and nursery catalogs, the list is unending. Just for fun, I went online and just searched seed catalogs. And the list of potential that came up was probably at least 100, and that probably wasn't all of them. So they're just unending numbers. And again, kind of, you can get on a list. And I don't mind getting the seed catalogs. And I will mention, just sort of as an offshoot of that, that the ones that I don't use, I save, and they're put out at the garden seminar, and other master gardeners do that too. And folks who don't get a certain catalog and they would like to have it, then they can pick it up and take it home. And if you're interested in the garden seminar, put it on your calendar for March 14th. Kind of early, but that's the date, March 14th, and you'll be hearing more about that, of course. Now back to catalogs. It's whether we're just wishing or whether we're actually really planning, the catalogs can be really helpful to us. In terms of seed catalogs, and you can think about this in terms of general catalogs too, the seed catalogs list of products they want to sell, but in addition to that, they are encyclopedias of information that tell you which plants won't grow where or which ones will grow where. And that keeps us from throwing away money for plants destined to fail with our growing conditions. And the same thing with clothing. You know, if if something says dry clean only, maybe that's not going to be on your list. So the information there can help you save money in the long run. What else can we learn from seed and nursery catalogs? Well, we'll discover whether plants are annuals or perennials, their mature size, shape, and soil requirements, flower color, blooming season, special features, and hardiness based on the USDA plant hardiness map. And by the way, we are supposedly in five, but I still plant according to four. That means the temperatures can go a little lower without killing the plants. Catalogs also tell us about the latest plant introductions and the newest hybrids. And so again, other kinds of catalogs tell us about what's new out there. Sometimes catalogs or companies will provide tips and techniques for growing particular plants. Some companies offer plants and seeds from another era, those heirloom plants. And thanks to catalogs, this kind of information, we can plan the garden layout, just like we could help plan a kitchen layout or plan what goes in our closets. In planning the garden layout, a great winter pastime, you know, you can stay indoors and do this and get out your paper and pencil and or maybe your computer. And by using the information about mature size and height, you can draw up plants that avoid plants shading one another. You can design effects that include a massive color or a tiered border garden. Blooming times, which are almost always listed in the catalogs, help you choose varieties that will bloom, you know, so you have some color from early spring to the first frost of fall and even some winter interest. In case of vegetables, information about time to harvest tells you when to plant specific varieties and when you can expect them to bear in your area. And sometimes there's a time frame, so you can plant them several times and kind of spread that out over time, just like you spread out the flowering time. And also consider that seed catalogs are kind of mini horticultural textbooks with plant pictures that help you get acquainted with plants. And they just have so much information that can be useful to you. And as I say, I think that's case not just in gardening, but in all kinds of catalogs. There can be much useful information there to help you in your planning and your spending. Well, one of the, the yard and garden catalog, I just think is an interesting one. It is called John Cheaper's Kitchen Garden Seeds. And it is mostly vegetables, but there are also some flowers in there too. And they don't have colored pictures, which sort of is a disappointment. But you compare, put it along with one that has colored pictures and you kind of get the whole picture. But they have great descriptions and they do have drawings of their plants. So I thought, you know, what veggie would you maybe not grow? Which veggie may you not eat, whatever. But you'd say, well, maybe I'd like to try this. So I thought I'd just use this as an example of the great information that you can get from a catalog. And so I want to talk about Brussels sprouts. Some people love Brussels sprouts and others go, oh, yuck. And I'm sure there are some people who've never tasted them. But anyhow, Brussels sprouts, it says, first of all, raise as a transplant. Sowing seeds in a cool greenhouse or protected growing area and transplanting out 12 weeks before the first fall frost. Now, often we're talking about planting the spring frost, but this one is, because Brussels sprouts are kind of unique, you transplant 12 weeks before the first fall frost. And enjoy them young and tender, harvesting while they're small and tightly wrapped, low on the stem, allowing the higher ones to remain. Or harvest the entire stem and store in a root cellar or refrigerator. See, all kinds of information here. Maybe you're not interested in it, but whatever veggie you choose, the information goes on. Pinch back the top of the plant to speed sprout development and maturation for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast while Brussels sprouts to get their sweet nuttiness flavor coming out. Toss them lightly in olive oil, coarse sea salt, and black pepper. Roast them for 12 minutes on a metal tray in a preheated oven, 425 degrees. Flip them over, roast for another 12 minutes until caramelized. And pop in your mouth for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well Brussels sprouts to get their sweet nuttiness flavor coming out. Toss them lightly in olive oil, coarse sea salt, and black pepper. Roast them for 12 minutes on a metal tray in a preheated oven, 425 degrees. Flip them over, roast for another 12 minutes until caramelized. And pop in your mouth for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well Brussels sprouts to get their sweet nuttiness for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well Brussels sprouts to get their sweet nuttiness for late season harvest. Convert the whole family into Brussels sprouts fans. Roast well Brussels sprouts to get their sweet nuttiness.